every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live. Are you ready?
Are you ready? It's Wrestling Observer Live. And we're live, often, 7 days a week, sometimes. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, with Brian Alvarez. Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, with Andrew Zarian. And Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, it's Jim Valley.
Oh, that's the most exciting type of valley.
The effing king of recovery. 6-0 against death.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, toot.
Back because of the fans.
Each and every one of you.
The largest collection of STD-having trailer park trash the Rock has ever seen.
You all fat, neck-bearded, mouth-breathing trolls.
They don't have adrenaline in their soul.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not live today. I want to be, but they had some scheduling at the radio station, so I am on tape today. But don't worry, I've got you a new, fresh, talking about wrestler, former AWA champion, not the American Wrestling Association, but the AWA out of Boston, because Vern Gagne's AWA didn't start until, like, what, the 60s, 50s? Late 50s, early 60s. I don't want to look it up right now. You can correct me later. Anyway, we're going to talk about Ed Don George, famous for wrestling Jim Londos, Gus Sonnenberg, Strangler Lewis, Lou Thesz. He drew big money with all the contemporaries of that era. Plus famous for a screw job that happened dealing with the AWA title and Strangler Lewis, Ed Strangler Lewis. So we'll talk about that and the author, my friend Dan Murphy. A great guy, historian, writer, author, used to write for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, also compiled a lot of the PWI 500. So he got some fun stories about the PWI 500, about wrestlers, and one time where he had to break up a fight in the morning in a parking lot, along with Rowdy Roddy Piper, who was in full Rowdy Roddy Piper costume. So we'll cover all kinds of history from 100 years ago all the way up to the present. Dan is very personable, great guy, great storyteller. We got some fun stuff for you and some things you're probably going to learn. So great show. Stick around. We got more with Dan Murphy talking about his new book about Ed Don George. Stand by. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine & More, find bourbons and cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice, so many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat, grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21. Macy's Veterans Day sale is one of your best chances to save big on furniture and mattresses. That's because you'll find great deals on our best sellers, like our exclusive Radley 5-piece sectional, delivered to any room in your home with white glove delivery for $25.98, and so many top brand mattresses at 20 to 60% off, plus an extra 20% off closeouts. So come in, try it all out, and get an incredible deal today at Macy's Veterans Day sale. Savings off select styles. Exclusions apply.
At Bank of America, we asked our teammates, what makes this company a great place to work?
There's very little that you can't accomplish working for Bank of America.
If you prove yourself, you can try over in a totally new way.
You can learn so much here. You're the owner of your career.
See how our teammates are growing in their careers at bankofamerica.com/great place to work. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
The Columbia Interchange system was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Observer Live. I'm not here this week, but I did want to leave you with the show, and I couldn't think of anybody better. I tried, but I couldn't think. No, I'm kidding. Couldn't think of anybody better than my friend Dan Murphy, who is a respected author, writer, wrestling historian. He's got a new book out about a famous wrestler out of the Buffalo area from the 1930s and 40s, also promoter, AWA champion. We'll talk all about him, Ed Don George. But first, let's bring him in. How are you doing, Dan? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing great. Jim, thank you very much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
It's my Did we first meet at Cauliflower Alley?
I think so. Yeah. I'm fairly certain. Yeah.
One of those great friendships you meet at you make at Cauliflower Alley. I've met so many great people through that you know, I know people always like to rip on wrestling fans. We stink and we don't shower and all that stuff. But I've just met the nicest people through wrestling, for real.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why I keep going back every year. It's the friends I've made. Yeah,
exactly. So much fun. And you're one of those great people. I appreciate
Thank you.
Here. How long have you been a fan?
Oh, my God. I became a wrestling fan. The way I see it is I was probably about 10 years old. I was born in 74, so about 10 years old, right when the rock and wrestling took off. So I was that perfect demographic for Hulk Hogan, Hulkmania, the rock and wrestling. So I don't know. I seem to remember it when I was 7, 8 years old. Definitely by the time I was 10, the war to settle the score, the brawl to end it all, and everything going on with MTV and rock and wrestling. And I was just hooked. And it was something my parents always thought, you know, he'll grow out of it. And, you know. Unfortunately, I haven't.
Yeah, I know. There are times when I go, I kept watching through that period of time.
Oh, my God, yeah. 93 to 95 was a rough era. But there have been other 2007 to 2011 or 2012 was a rough one.
All the stuff with WCW, it's like they're Jim Crockett and they're wrestling. And now they're the Ding Dongs. And just like, I kept watching. Do I have no standards? I was addicted. It was a very terrible relationship I was in, an abusive
relationship. I've been in one myself. I understand.
Exactly. So, and then you, how'd you get into Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
Yeah, actually, so I was an English major in college, went to college and graduated in 96, but I was a wrestling fan for years. So I discovered the wrestling magazines when I was 11 or 12, and I remember going shopping with my mom, and I'd go to the magazine section of the supermarket and she'd shop and I'd just sit there Indian style on the floor reading wrestling magazines. You have a stack of them there, you know, comic books and wrestling magazines. So I was reading wrestling magazines and buying them all through the 80s and early 90s. And I graduated from college with this English major degree. And at that time, UFC was just coming on board, and there was still a little bit of crossover between wrestling and UFC. You know, some of the guys, Shamrock and Severn, but Mark Coleman and some other guys were kind of flirting with wrestling. They were going to do a UFC event in Niagara Falls, New York, and I'm in Buffalo, New York, so it's nearby. And I was writing for a local newspaper. I was able to get press credentials. But at the last minute, the New York State Legislature wanted to make all the guys wear gloves and headgear and have all these rules. And the idea was New York didn't want UFC in New York State, and they would make the product so boring that it wouldn't get over and they'd never come back without outright banning it. So I picked up the phone and called the PWI office. I got Stu Sachs on the phone. Which, again, was kind of a dream come true for a little kid who grew up reading the wrestling magazines. Stu Sachs is real, and I'm on the phone with him. And said, hey, I know you don't normally cover UFC, but here's the crossover. It's unique. You know, he said, well, can you get photos? Yeah, I can get pictures. I mean, didn't really know how I would, but that, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. And he says, okay, write something up. We'll see what we can do. And a couple days before the event, they moved it. They moved it down to Dothan, Alabama. Called up, disappointed. There was my opportunity to write for PWI. Talked to Stu. He says, well, it sounds like you know what you're talking about. How about you send us some clips? And from there, I got my first assignment, which was introducing Prince Iaukea. So he had just won the TV title. And every time they offered me an assignment, I jumped at it. And then it went from an occasional assignment here or there to regular columns, regular features, and 22 years at the magazine. And at the end of the day.
That's amazing. I have a theory. You know, I mean, I think I got my first wrestling magazine in like 1979, I think.
Okay.
And my theory is I don't think I would have stuck with wrestling for as long as I did without the wrestling magazines. Because, you know, I lived in a small town, so we didn't get cable until later than a lot of cities did. And so, in my mind, I'd read about these incredible titanic struggles. You know, Dusty Rhodes and Harley Race or Bob Backlund and Craig Valentine or whomever. And then, you know, it wasn't until probably the YouTube era where I saw these matches. And in my mind, there are these incredible titanic struggles of will and guts and determination. And then you watch them and they're just like, okay, that was it. And it's like, yeah. I built these things up in my mind. You know, the matches
in my
mind. Yeah, same
here. The magazines did have a way of doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think.
And in the pre-internet era, it was your way to follow other territories.
Yeah.
You know, you could watch what was happening in the WWF on TV, but the Continental Wrestling Alliance or Association, the Memphis, Japan, I mean, that's a different world. It's crazy what's happening over there. So it really, same thing, it hooked me. I in my office here, I got rid of a lot of them, but I've still got a stack of 500, 600 wrestling magazines right next to me here. And, you know, I can pick them. And in fact, funny story, I stopped writing for PWI in 2019, but I just got contacted by Natalia, who was at CAC this year. And I've known Natty for a long time. And she had asked about an old issue of PWI where her uncle Owen Hart got the Rookie of the Year Award.
1987.
I remember that too, right? So I said, well, hold on a second. I took a look. I've got that issue right here.
There it is.
Right there.
I had that issue.
And she asked me if I could send it to her because she wanted it for something, and absolutely. You know, so it's kind of neat that having that physical media that pro wrestling magazines had and the place that it had, it gets overlooked a lot of times with especially the internet era and everything, but it was just something you could carry around with you, read over and over and keep for 30 years later, you know, so it's pretty special.
I read those magazines. I got a subscription one Christmas to Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And before then, I'd walk down to the 7-Eleven, like, and I knew it came out like one of the Tuesdays, one Tuesday of every month. And so I'd go down on like a Saturday right after. And, you know, I think I missed one issue in that whole time. But, you know, you have these magazines, and I read them over and over and over, you know, the whole month till the next one came.
Yeah.
And that's instead of doing it's homework is what it's called.
True story. This you might get a kick out of this. Eighth grade, I had to write an essay every week or so. And one of the assignments was you take a picture, photograph, and write about it. Just take a picture from a magazine. And everyone's grabbing something from Sports Illustrated or whatever, writing about it. And the picture I took, and I've got to find it somewhere here, but it was Tommy Rich and Austin Idol and Paul E. Dangerously. They had busted open Tommy Rich. I think Austin Idol had him in a figure four. Paul E. hit him with the phone. And he just blood everywhere, blood all over. I took that picture and I wrote an essay about it. And that was what I turned in, you know, and I went to Catholic school. I probably should have been sent to a counselor. I've got this picture of this two bloody half-naked men.
How was confession that week?
I mean, I got an A+ on it and everything, nice. But it just shows, you know, I was kind of wired to write about pro wrestling. Oh, I mean, great. It was bigger than life. I was fascinated by it, and I wanted to talk about it.
We're talking with Dan Murphy, former writer, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. He's an author. He's got a new book about Ed Don George, which we will talk about coming up. He's also got some fun stories of his time as a fan and PWI, and we'll cover all of that coming up. Stand by. It's a very special edition. Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley. We'll be right back with more with Dan Murphy.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
It's Wrestling Observer Live, and it's Jim Valley. Joining us here is wrestling historian, author, writer, formerly of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, one of my good friends from the Cauliflower Alley Club, Dan Murphy. As I mentioned, new book about Ed Don George. We'll talk about that. Ed Don George, one of the original inductees into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, and it is Hall of Fame season right now. But we'll talk about all of this. I mean, Ed Don George, to me, I think of the incidents with Strangler Lewis. And we'll get into that and more coming up. But is being a wrestling writer as wacky as it seems? I mean, wrestlers are a different breed. What's it like when they're trying to work you for publicity and things?
Oh my God. Yeah. I was, for several years, maybe about 10 years, I was kind of running the PWI 500.
Yeah.
That was, originally, you know, we got together as a committee and kind of did the ranking, and in the course of one day, we might get 50 or 60 spots done. And then Stu Sachs would say to me, "All right, Dan, finish the list, and then we'll all go through it and tear it apart and figure it all out." So what I would do is I'd carry a notebook with me and keep notes. Anytime I'd watch a match, I'd write people's names down, people worth watching, things I could, you know, just to remember. But in the beginning, I remember, you know, the people used to send in submissions. So I'd get these big stacks of mail of, you know, match results and photos and 8x10s and VHS tapes and CD-ROMs later, and then eventually links to MySpace pages, and you had to go through MySpace to try to find things out and whatever. And I had a link, a list of promoters I would call and just check in with them. And who are the guys to watch? Who are the ones that you're impressed by? And yeah, oh my gosh, you get a lot of guys who, you know, they did anything they could to get in the magazine. They, you know, hey, you'd see me out somewhere, we'll have a shot. Well, okay, whatever. But then at the same time, if they didn't like where they were rated or they didn't like somebody else on the list, oh, it's all a work. It doesn't matter. It was just always, there was always some heat from someone and someone kissing your ass the other way. It just always worked that way.
Sure.
But you just try to navigate the best you can. Everybody wants publicity. And the thing is, it always bugged me, people saying it's a work, because a lot of effort, a lot of work went into that magazine. And we didn't do it. I mean, you do it to sell magazines, but whether that issue sold 10 copies or 10,000 copies, I was still getting paid the same amount. I was doing it and I was putting all my effort into it because I cared about it. I wanted it to be as accurate a representation of the current wrestling landscape as we could do. So we really worked at it, but yeah, there was always struggles with people with unhappy about their coverage.
Well, I mean, and even if it's a work or not, if there's no credibility or plausibility to the list, you know, what's the point of even doing it? You know, you're not going to sell anything. I remember the first year they left off Undertaker. And I remember reading the list. I didn't even notice. Because, I mean, there's just so much information.
That stuff happened pretty often. And I don't want to say it happened often. It happened periodically. And the thing is, in the course of doing the list and revising the list, you have different versions. And then whoever is, you know, we're looking at the files, but not the art file necessarily. And things would happen. You know, sometimes people would get misidentified or, you know, somebody be duplicated or somebody who had died would somehow make the list. It didn't happen often, but every time it happened, it felt like a stab wound, man. It was something that it would take me months to process and get over. Because you take it personally. You take pride in your work.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, I mean, I hate when you make mistakes, something like that. But going through so many names and so many things, and there's so many probably people and moving parts and things. Mm-hmm. Of course. And imagine after a while, it's like just turns your brain to mush.
Trying to do it back in the pre-internet days, you know, where it was, you know, you couldn't necessarily just email somebody or look stuff up on YouTube, and you'd have match results that didn't match. You know, this match happened a different date or a different city or a different result. You had to try to figure it all out, but you still had a deadline.
Yeah.
You know, he had to turn around the issue and get pages done, and it was a challenge.
Well, I remember the year that Dean Malenko was number one, and I know some people like to make fun of that. But
everybody does.
Yeah. I don't. I remember at the time thinking that's who I would have voted for. Because, I mean, he was putting on state-of-the-art matches. He was a highlight of Nitro. Here's a guy that, you know, obviously famous family and things like that. But to a lot of people, even though he'd been toiling for so long, he kind of came out of nowhere to, like, an average fan who watches Nitro. And I never had a problem with it, never.
And at that time, it was a matter of Hogan was WCW world champion. It was only doing a few dates.
Yeah.
There were some issues at WWF where the champions were the title was kind of hot potatoed a little bit. There was nobody who really stood out. And so we started looking at the secondary titles. And what should have happened, and again, this is right before I was with PWI, so I wasn't personally involved, but I've heard all the stories. But what probably should have happened is Misawa should have been number one.
Yeah.
He would have been the best in the world at that time. But Japanese wrestling was just not as well known in the U.S. And to put somebody like Misawa on the cover, I don't think the magazine had the comfort level or would it sell. You know, and how do you do – here's a guy that we haven't covered at all in the magazine because he doesn't wrestle in our main coverage area, and now we're going to say he's number one in the world. Well, if he's number one, how come you haven't been writing about him?
No,
so right. it was a little bit of a challenge for the editorial department at that time.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I still don't. I guess you had to. No, I mean you had to be. You had to be there. I mean, I get if you weren't there and you go, that seems kind of out of left field, but it really wasn't at the time, and it is a snapshot of the time.
Absolutely.
So, working there, tell me some fun anecdotes or anything in your fandom or time in wrestling. What are some of your favorite moments?
There's been so many. I mean, so little things too. Not little. I mean, so because I was writing for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, it opened doors to a lot of different things, and I got involved in different aspects of the wrestling business. And at one point, I was asked to be the kind of backstage agent, for lack of a better term, for an independent show in Buffalo at the Buffalo Bisons ballpark. The ballpark brawl shows. And we did about eight or nine. We did one in Rochester and you know, we'd bring in some big name independent talent. It'd be outdoor shows after a ballpark, a baseball game. And I remember one of them, we brought in Roddy Piper. And Piper was coming in. He was going to do a Piper's Pit in the ring. And they were going to have Sean O'Hare and I think Abyss. And we had a few other things all planned for it. So to offset costs for bringing in Roddy, he wanted to come in for a couple days and do a seminar for some local wrestlers. So I organized that. We got the seminar together, had the space. You know, I get to the building early. I'm kind of cleaning up and preparing and greeting people as they come in, making sure everybody's paid, all that stuff. And so Roddy comes in, and the promoter, who's a friend of mine, was with him. And Roddy was traveling with a young boy, in the wrestling terms, you know, an aspiring pro wrestler who carried his bags and his book.
Was it Lewis?
It might have been. I don't know.
Tall kid? Tall kid?
Very tall kid, yes.
Lewis Rock.
Okay.
Friend of mine. Yeah.
Well, all right. So Lewis comes in. If it was Lewis, it wasn't definitely a tall kid. And he was bent out of shape about something. Don't know exactly the situation. But Roddy gets in the ring. He just starts off the seminar. And I hear this commotion in the parking lot. So I step outside. I think it's some wrestlers coming in. They're just running late and goofing off. And this young boy has the promoter bent over the hood of a car. He's just throwing punches at him.
Oh, jeez, Lewis.
And they're both tall guys, big guys. I'm like, whoa, what, you know, what happened? So I run in and grab Roddy. Like, Roddy, if, you know, he comes out. And the two of us run out and we separate these two guys. And there was an argument. And some haymakers are being thrown, but I don't think anything ever connected. It was more of a skirmish, but this is right on Niagara Falls Boulevard, which is a very busy street, and this is a Saturday morning, I would think, and here's, you know, people driving, they're having their coffee, driving down the street, here's Roddy Piper wearing the hot Rod t-shirt, the leather jacket, the kilt. He and me were breaking up a fight in the parking lot. It was just like the most surreal. What is this? And then, you know, ended up sending the guy back to the hotel and getting it all settled down. But, you know, Roddy would joke to me every time I see him afterwards. He'd be like, you and me had to break that fight up, brother. You know,
that's
yeah,
so funny. We
did. You just find yourself in weird situations.
Yeah,
you know?
Wrestling is wrestling. So you got the new book out.
Yes.
Now, this isn't your first book.
No. This is my eighth book altogether, my fourth wrestling book. I did one years back, a history of pro wrestling in Western New York called Body Slams in Buffalo. Just a thin little book aimed for kind of mainstream audiences. Didn't know how well it would do. It turned out it did really well. So it was just kind of my starting point. But then I did Sisterhood of the Squared Circle with Pat LaPrade. That came out in 2017 with ECW Press, Complete History of Women's Pro Wrestling. I did the Wrestlers Wrestlers with Brian Young. That came out in 2022, again with ECW Press. And then for the past 5 years, I've been working on the Ed Don George book that came out earlier this year with Crowbar Press with Scott Teal.
We'll get into who Ed Don George was and why he was so significant. Now, what is the name of the book, the Ed Don George book?
The Ed Don George book is just Ed Don George, The Remarkable Life of an Olympian and Pro Wrestling Champion. I was playing with some other titles, but I just figured we'll put Ed Don George front and center and say who he was and what he did and why he's special.
Yeah, very special and very interesting. That's one of the things I think more than ever now. You know, I go on Reddit or whatever, and you see the kids, and the kids, are told history by Michael Cole or whomever. And not that they're bad people, but it's not always accurate. So it's important to have historians and books like this and things like that. We'll talk about Ed Don George, his life, his career, and the new book by Dan Murphy coming up next. Stand by. It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Observer Live.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Kohl's Black Friday deals are dropping early. You can save up to 50% throughout the store all weekend. Yep, call it what you want. Manifestation, luck, fate. The point is, it's happening. Plus, you'll earn $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent on Friday. Shop early Black Friday deals at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. And thank the universe later. Select styles up to 50% off valid November 7th through 9th. Some exclusions apply. See store Kohl's.com for details.
This Veterans Day, we honor the brave individuals who have served in our nation's military. Upon returning home, many may face service-connected health challenges. ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, is an incurable neurodegenerative disease affecting the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord and can cause people to lose the ability to move, speak, swallow, and eat on their own. Veterans are twice as likely than those who haven't served in the military to develop this disease. U.S. Army veteran Ed lives with ALS.
Living with ALS isn't easy, but the discipline and grit I gained during my time in the military have carried me through. My experience has shown me how important it is to talk openly about the disease so others can truly understand. I hope my story inspires more veterans with ALS to join the Share Your Story community.
To hear more stories from people living with ALS and to learn more about the opportunity to share your story, visit shareyouralsstory.com/radio. This message is sponsored by Mitsubishi Tanabe Pharma America.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
It's Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley. Joining us now is author, longtime fan, historian, Dan Murphy. I'll be talking about his days at PWI and breaking up fights in the parking lots of things with Roddy Piper. But you've got a new book out. It's about Ed Don George, famous Olympian pro wrestler from the 30s and 40s. He also, I didn't know this, he taught hand-to-hand combat in the Army. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, Chapel Hill, the Naval Academy at Chapel Hill. He wrestled until 1941 and got out of wrestling right after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. He enlisted because of his background in wrestling. He was sent to Chapel Hill, where he instructed incoming cadets on hand-to-hand combat. And he basically worked with the team there to pretty much rewrite the Navy's official hand-to-hand combat guide.
Now, he was an AWA world champion. He was in the inaugural class of the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame in 1996. So, I mean, obviously there are credentials and things, but why did you want to write a book about Ed Don George?
You know, Ed Don George is one of these, he's kind of a forgotten figure. I mean, if you think of a lot of his contemporaries, you have Strangler Lewis and you have Lou Thesz, and people talk about those guys. But even Gus Sonnenberg gets a little bit of love. Jim Londo certainly gets some love, but Ed Don George is just kind of forgotten. And if you really look at it, his pro wrestling career only lasted about 12 years. It was a relatively short time. You know, some of those guys, Thesz and Londos, for example, had 40-plus year careers. Lewis, even longer. But he basically kind of got into wrestling, got out, and never really looked back. Became a promoter, but after his service in World War II, he was just kind of out of the game, never had any interest in going back into wrestling. But he was... I looked into him as a Buffalo guy. He's a Western New York guy. Was born maybe 40 miles away from where I live right now. And I was kind of looking into him for a possible article, maybe a longer article, you know, something, series of articles. And the more I looked into his life and found some of his family that was still living around and some clip books that they had, scrapbooks of old articles and photos and things like that, I realized that there was a real story, and nobody's told it, and I didn't know if I'd be a good enough writer to, but it became my challenge, and I spent 5 years during the COVID pandemic and beyond really putting this together and bringing it to life. So I'm very proud of it, and I think it's a great story about a really unique wrestler, a unique person.
Now, when I think of Ed Don George, I mean, I know who he is. I've basic knowledge. But I guess the main thing I think about is, I guess we call them today, the screw jobs dealing with Strangler Lewis. That's what I think of.
And the basic story of that, it's really Lou Thesz has perpetuated this. And it could entirely be true, as Lou Thesz has written it. But Lou Thesz is a big Strangler Lewis guy, and he kind of puts over Strangler Lewis a lot. But the way he basically says is that after Ed Don had won the world title for the first time, short time into his reign, he goes out for a title defense against Strangler, pulled from Strangler. With Strangler basically says, hey, we can either do this the hard way or the easy way. Do we want to give these people a show or not? And Fez's way of telling it was Ed Don knew that he couldn't out-wrestle Strangler Lewis, says let's cooperate. He put him over, and Lewis took the championship and took the belt, and that's the screw job. And there's a lot to that. Certainly doesn't
Ed
look like it was a planned.
Ed was supposed to win that match, is what you're saying.
Ed Don was supposed to win that match, and then Strangler Lewis won it.
Right.
That's the prevailing theory. There's a lot that goes back and forth. One thing. Ed Don George was an Olympian. He should have been a gold medalist. He kind of got jobbed in the Olympic Games in 1928 on a controversial call. All the Americans were getting called for technical violations because of these ride time and fast flying falls, they called them. If you're taking somebody down and you rolled through on your back, the European judges were counting that as a takedown for the other person. And the U.S. at the time, with their wrestling, you were allowed to roll through on your back as long as you weren't down, and it wasn't possession, it wasn't back points, anything like that. So they were all struggling, and if you look at the results, the U.S. didn't do well in the finals. A couple of wrestlers actually forfeited and just walked off and said they weren't getting a fair deal, so they were out. Ed Down was one of the best pure wrestlers in the world. And Strangler Lewis at that point had been in a car accident about 6 months earlier. He wasn't fully recovered from. He was in his mid-40s, kind of paunchy, kind of, Yes, Strangler Lewis is a hell of a hooker. He was a great wrestler. He knew all of the tricks. But whether or not Ed Don George would have been completely, so intimidated, considering he was one of the best pure wrestlers on the planet, I don't know. So in the book, I go through several historians and several documents that kind of play these things against each other. We really don't know entirely what was planned. We think we do. But it's really interesting to look at the complexities of that match, because the match only sold out maybe 30 to 40% of capacity. It wasn't a sellout. The newspapers were reporting, well, Ed Don George is going to win because Strangler Lewis is old and washed up. There was really no interest in the fans in seeing Strangler Lewis as champion again. But it was a swerve. It was a surprise. Whether it was a true screw job or exactly what it is, we just have some different opinions on that. But that's what I explore a lot in the book.
So this was just a control from the Fez camp, this Lewis camp. This was just to strictly get control of the title. It wasn't like, exactly. There's some people who say, well, I'm the bigger star. I need to get the title because I'm going to make money. But like I said, this is one thing about this story that's always, I've always had questions about, as far as, like you mentioned, it's like Lewis was old. And, while he may have known all the tricks, it's like, it also seems to me like Ed Don wasn't someone you'd want to test yourself against, especially at that stage of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And Ed Don was the kind of guy, now, after the Wayne Munn incident, basically, where he was taken advantage of, he was the kind of guy that Paul Bowser, the promoter, wanted to have because he could take care of himself. And he could. Eventually, the title was orchestrated back onto Ed Don. He ended up having three runs with Paul Bowser's championship, really up until 1939, but during that time, he was having sellouts with Dan O'Mahony, with Jim Londos. He was doing very well. Strangler Lewis was already past his peak at the time of that match and lost the belt to Henry DeGlane very shortly afterwards up in Montreal. In another controversial match.
So what else makes Ed Don George historically significant and a fascinating story?
Again, I think that he was the kind of guy that could have been, in a different era, he would have been an MMA guy, a UFC guy. He had the wrestling background. He quickly adapted to pro wrestling in such a way. You look at somebody like Kurt Angle now, maybe even Jack Briscoe, somebody who was so accomplished on the amateur mats, who so quickly and seamlessly made the transition to the pro game. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's very hard to go from pure wrestling to becoming a showman and an entertainer. And very few wrestlers have been able to do it as seamlessly as Ed Don did. Again, the other thing, he ran for Erie County Sheriff at one point. He was so popular in his hometown of Buffalo that they convinced him to run for sheriff. He didn't really want to win, but he was kind of doing a favor. They needed a name on the ballot, and because of his celebrity, he did. He had a respectable show going, but didn't win. But again, he was a guy who was drawing crowds of 30,000 people or more during the Great Depression. So in an era where people didn't have, oftentimes money for food or basic necessities, he was still drawing in these packed houses during that decade. There was a line in one of the obituaries after he passed that he had competed in front of more fans than the Buffalo Bills had, at that point.
Right.
And it's true. During his relatively short career, he traveled the world, three world championships, ended up retiring with plenty of money and helping kind of raise his sons, being a family man for his nieces and nephews, and just being the patriarch of this very large family. So he was just this really, he's a guy that his wrestling career didn't define who he was. He's shown for a very fairly brief time, but shown very prominently and then stepped aside. And that's very rare to see in pro wrestling even today.
Now, let's say I'm a new fan. I've jumped on the WWE wave that we've seen the past 5 years or whatever it's been. Why would I want to read this book?
Well, a couple things. I mean, number one, I think that, like you were talking about earlier about pro wrestling magazines, the thing that enhances your appreciation for wrestling is often knowing its history or knowing what goes on beyond what you see on TV. Because you said, you know, Michael Cole or other people may give you some history, but it's often not correct or filtered through a certain perspective. Not, I mean, all history is filtered through somebody's perspective, but you know what I mean. I think that knowing the history and knowing where the championships have come from and the disputes during the 1930s between rival promoters and why it was so important for people to protect kayfabe or be able to take care of themselves in the ring. It wasn't always what we have now, but these were things that became fundamental to the wrestling business for the 20th century, basically. So I think that it helps you understand what wrestling is and what it was a lot more, but it's also just great stories. It's great stories of somebody who, went from the collegiate ranks and as an Olympian made it to the top level and what he did at that point.
We got a couple of minutes. Can you tell us another quick Ed Don George story?
Another quick Ed Don George story. Sure. Well, I think the best is there was always with Ed Don George and during that era, you had rival claimants to the world title. And it kind of changes throughout the 1930s, and you see it many times over. But you see these super cards, these super matchups. And one of them is Ed Don George against Jim Londos. Dan O'Mahony was another one. But where you had rival groups recognizing rival world champions, and it just built this so much drama and excitement about these two guys facing off and whether or not there would be one unified world champion. And it really just showed it, until it kind of got worn out by the late 1930s, there was a real passion for seeing one champion versus another and seeing, you know, one guy rise above and become the undisputed champion. Ed Don George lost Dan O'Mahony for the undisputed title in 1935. There was a draw against Londos, a series of draws against Londos as well. But it really just shows this kind of a dream match quality that was happening that I don't think we get to see too much anymore. Maybe not since the old WCW, WWF Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
Where you have rival champions and people want to know who the better man is.
That's a really good point as far as that goes. Speaking of rival champions, what was the relationship before and after with Fez and Ed Don George after the whole screw job?
From everything, by all accounts, I mean, they did wrestle each other several times, and there was no animosity that I've seen between Ed Don George and Lou Fez. He talked about Fez a few times, about how he was, because Fez was a younger man and got started a little bit later. Ed Don actually wrestled Lou Fez in Montreal the night his mother died. He found out that his mom had been ill, and he had gone and stayed with her several times before that. Right before his match against Fez, he found out that his mom had passed. And, you know, she was out in North Java, New York, outside of Buffalo. And he still went out there and he wrestled. And this is after he was the world champion. He was a little bit further down on the card. It was still a featured bout. But he still went out there and did, I think it was 40 minutes or something like that. And it's just incredible to think that, you know, you're getting ready for a match against a guy like Fez who was young and dynamic and a lot of energy. And you got to be focused. And you get that kind of news. And you still go out there, and nobody knew. It's not like the crowd knew what was going on. He wrestled a match, still delivered, and then packed up and made the drive, you know, 7.5-8 hours home to try to be with his family, you know, that night.
It's got to be tough.
So it's, it's pretty interesting.
Stand by. More with Dan Murphy coming up next.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver.
Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Observer Live. What a pleasure to be talking with writer, author, historian Dan Murphy. New book about Ed Don George, a fascinating character, legendary character in the annals of pro wrestling history. Where can people get the book?
Best way to find it right now is actually right through Scott Teal Direct with Crowbar Press. If you go to crowbarpress.com, you can find the book right there, order direct. If you happen to find me on social media, on Facebook primarily, or on Instagram, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be happy to sign a copy and send it out your way. But the best way is through Crowbar Press.
And what are your other books? Are they still available?
Yes, Sisterhood of the Squared Circle. You can find that pretty much anywhere, but mostly with ecwpress.com, as well as The Wrestlers, Wrestlers, The Masters of the Craft of Pro Wrestling, again with ECW Press.
I think I've read both of those books, and they're both great. And
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're a great writer. Sometimes with writers, with wrestling, you know, these guys were characters. It's a carny business. They're outlaws, even the respected ones. And it's like sometimes they read too much without that flavor of what the time was. And you really, I think you do a good job capturing that.
Thank you. Thank you. And that was the thing with PWI is I was brought up through the PWI school of, you don't want to get yourself over. You want to get the wrestlers over. We want to be as invisible as possible. And I've kind of brought that through. I try to let the subject speak rather than my own voice, if at all possible.
Right. You're like Matt Brock with a kilt.
In more ways than you might know. Matt Brock is, I've written as Matt Brock many times.
That's what I want, a history book by ghostwritten as Matt Brock. That's what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to work on that for you.
For those who don't know, Matt Brock was a grizzled old columnist in the Stanley Weston magazines. It was not a real character. It was not a real person. And then
I got a call from Stu Sachs one time and says, "Hey, Matt," you know, because I was writing as Matt Brock at that time, one of several people who rotated through over the years, says, "We're going to make a change. We're going to give you a sex change." Like, really? So, yeah, you're now Liz Hunter. So I switched from Matt Brock to Liz Hunter. And
well, keep staying Dan Murphy.
Welcome behind the curtain.
Keep staying Dan Murphy. You can find his book, The Lace with N.George, at crowbarpress.com. Dan, a pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Observer Live.